Job chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb, when I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther. And here shall your proud waves be stayed.'" This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When he spoke from Mount Sinai, the Lord said, "You shall have no other gods before me." What does this mean? Martin Luther explained briefly. It means that we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. At Sinai, the Lord elaborated, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." Martin Luther explained these verses: God threatens to punish all who break these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not do anything against them. But he promises grace and every blessing to those who keep these commandments. Therefore, we should also love and trust in him and gladly do what he commands. Fear, love, and trust God above all others. That's what it means to have the Lord as your God. Christians sometimes piously opine that we shouldn't really fear God, that that would somehow be improper. Today's gospel might seem even to confirm that fear and faith shouldn't, maybe even can't, coexist. After all, Jesus asks his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Doesn't this indicate that if the disciples had had faith, if they had trusted God, they wouldn't have had any fear? That surely is an oversimplification. There is a proper fear of God. Surely the reason he threatens punishment is, as Luther explained, that we would fear his wrath and not disobey him. as a practical matter, and it's happened many times since Jesus ascended into heaven, if someone were to threaten a Christian with death unless he renounced Jesus as his Lord and Savior, what should he do? The answer, of course, is to refuse to deny Christ, even if it costs him his life. After all, Jesus taught clearly, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. That is, fear God. Jesus went on, whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. It is proper to have less fear of what some persecutor can do to you than of what God will do if you turn away from him. That's fearing God more than men. But what does this have to do with the readings from Job and from St. Mark? Well, in both of these readings, there is a problem of fear and faith. As you know, Job had experienced all sorts of misfortune. In a moment, he had lost everything, herds, property, children, and then even his health. He didn't understand why he was suffering as he was. He saw others who were openly wicked, going unpunished. And he didn't understand. Their wickedness was far greater than his own. So why was he suffering while they prospered? Job challenged God to present his case, to justify himself. He asked the Lord to show why the suffering he was experiencing was not unjust. But there had been no response from the Lord, only silence. And then God summoned Job to court. He doesn't directly address Job's accusation, but he defends his own integrity. The integrity which Job had questioned. Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? He asked Job. Dress for action like a man, he told him. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Who is this who thinks he can accuse God of unrighteousness? Who challenges God's management of this complex world. You can sympathize with Job's frustration, can't you? As you go through life, the question why comes to mind far more often than it is spoken. With Jeremiah, all people long to know, why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? Why is sickness and disease so indiscriminate, not distinguishing between those who try to be moral and the morally bankrupt, between God's people and those who have persistently rejected him? Why? If why is a question that troubles you, it's good to have an opportunity to listen in to God's words to Job. Make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? The answer to these questions isn't, who knows, or it wasn't me. The answer is, it was you, Lord. You were the only one around. You drew up the blueprints. You stretched out that cosmic tape measure. You poured the foundations of the universe. You engineered the earth. The answer to God's question, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge, is just an ordinary man. A man struck speechless when brought face to face with the wise and powerful creator of this amazing universe. In the questions God asks at the beginning of our text, and going on through chapter 39, and then through most of chapters 40 and 41 as well, the Lord's discernment and insight and knowledge are revealed in the complexity and paradox evident in his design of creation. The Lord even sticks in a bit of humor in the last verses of our text, speaking of the ocean that can rise up in a violent and destructive storm as if it were a new baby that he dresses and puts in a playpen, saying, "You behave yourself now." Finally, in light of the wisdom and planning of God evidenced in his intricately designed creation, Job no longer questions God. He realizes that the Lord's wisdom is far beyond his own, that the Lord's power is sufficient to handle any and every contingency. And therefore, whatever is happening in this life, it remains in the Lord's capable hands. And the outcome will be in keeping with the Lord's mercy and love and grace. Job again realizes his position, his proper place in creation. His role is not to judge God, but to fear him and trust him. Jesus' conversation with his disciples was far shorter than the Lord's with Job. And indeed, half the words spoken in our text from Mark were not spoken between Jesus and his disciples, but rather Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, and then the disciples spoke to one another. In the midst of a great windstorm with waves breaking into the boat so that it was filling with water, the disciples woke Jesus, saying, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. Then he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him? The only possible answer for the disciples, and in spite of all our technological sophistication as well, for us, is the Lord God. He is the one who took the newborn ocean, put it in its playpen, and told it to stay there. And during a storm on the Sea of Galilee, he hushed it again. Jesus' miraculous stilling of wind and sea, like the Lord's questions to Job, restored in his disciples a proper measure of both fear and trust. And the word that we have heard today can do the same for you and for me. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things, because he has power over all things. He called them into being, after all, and still sustains them to this day. And also because you know that God loves you. After all, he sent his only Son, whom he loves, to be your substitute, to die the death your sins had earned, to prepare a place for you in his Father's home. He has made you his own, for he has saved you.
But the readings this morning also remind us that when we find ourselves in hardship or trouble, our Lord is happy to have us call on Him. As a matter of fact, one of the blessings of being up to your neck in hardship and difficulty is that such things prompt you to look to God and pray that He would deliver you. It's easy when things are going well for you in life to forget that you owe God everything, that He's the one who blessed you with your health and work and all that you need to support this body and life. The scriptures bear ample witness that when everything is going well, people tend to think that they deserve the credit. But when we face reverses, when the things in which we felt secure are suddenly snatched away from us, then we call on the one who has been supporting us all along and who alone can deliver us not only from danger and sickness and need, but also from sin and shame and death and hell. What St. Paul writes is most certainly true. For those who love God, all things work together for good. All things for those who are called according to His purpose, in fear and in faith. May your confession match that which the poet wrote. My God in need in every deed knows well how He will shield me. To Him then I will yield me. What God ordains is always good. This truth remains unshaken. Though sorrow, need, or death be mine, I shall not be forsaken. I fear no harm, for with His arm He shall embrace and shield me. So, to my God, I yield me. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.